actually really gifted. He was a missionary over in the Czech Republic for years. And I remember when I was a teenager, Dad showed me a video clip of him and I never forgot it. I think it might even be on his website. And he stood on the square in this town in the Czech Republic. And he just started asking if anybody needed healing in their body. And, you know, people were kind of like, you know, the curiosity came out. But that's how they were with Jesus. They were just kind of curious. Half of them just came for the food. They came to be entertained. Here we are now. Entertain us. You know, it was what it was. And so he just started really simply, not in a flashy, showy way, just in love, started praying for people. And healings were happening one after another after another. And it just drew a crowd. And he gave all the glory to Jesus. And people gave their lives to him. And it's just real simple. It's going into the break room and seeing someone and saying, you know what, can I just pray for you for healing and giving God glory? And the world around just changes. So I just want to encourage you, please set an alarm on your phone. Do not oversleep for this guy. He is really, really powerful. He's going to be here next Sunday at 10:30 in the morning. It's going to be incredible. We will have full youth services. The senior high will be downstairs. Nevin's going to be teaching, and the junior high and all the kids. Parent meeting is actually that same day back here at 6 o'clock to 6:45. I like short meetings. How many people like short meetings? And you're going to get the vision for what our youth ministry, if you're a grandparent too, that's okay. Like if you have a teenager involved in the youth group, how much we are going to give your kid every opportunity to grow and be discipled in the word this summer. So this summer is grow time. This is grow time. This is not a summer of first where Satan gains ground. This is a time where we take ground and grow. So we're going to tell you about all the opportunities about that. If you can't make it, that's okay. It's not required. Please, please, please fill out the emergency contact information. Read all the boxes because we want to do everything in decency and in order and make sure we have those things on hand. On that note, I think that's all I think that's it. Yeah. Children and youth are dismissed, and Pastor D's got a great word for us. Amen.
Am I on? Good. Praise God.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
I'm teaching today. I have 15 scriptures. It is the word of God that changes you, not me. So I encourage you, be smarter than a fifth grader. Take notes. Just jot down this scripture. Yes, you have something? Amen. Okay, that's okay. And by the way, I like to teach, so I'm in my happy place today. With only one cup of coffee, I didn't really need it. I just did it for the fun of it. But we're going to, you know, I towards around the end of October, I just start getting time alone saying, Hey, Lord, don't you like the familiarity? But he and I are best friends. So I go, hey, Lord, you know, where would you like us to go next year at YCF in this house? And Lord, what are some things that we need to just sharpen up on? What are some things that you've got planned? And as I was praying about this at the end of the year, I knew a direction that we wanted to go in. And many of you may already know this, but as I looked out in our congregation, we have people that are new to walking with Jesus. They have come out of places where they've never heard this. And not that I'm so amazing, but the word of God is amazing. So for the next couple of weeks that I'm here, I'm going to be teaching on who you are in Christ. And if you didn't say amen, it's because you need to hear this. Okay? And visit our bookstore. This one is by Casey Treat. Incredible. Renewing the Mind. This is what has to get renewed so you find out who God called you to be and all the greatness that is God that is in him is in you. So this is a great book. Please go back and check it out. Here's another one. I just love E.W. and Kenyon. He's gone home to be with that great cloud of witnesses. But when he writes a chapter, the max, it's 4 pages. So, you know, this is the book you sit in the throne room and you just read a couple pages, you know, while you're just hanging out. But this one's called New Creation Realities. You are new, and there's great realities in you that he just wants to expound on. All right. How many? Raise your hand if you have this book in him. Raise your hand if you have this book. Okay. If you did not raise your hand, you may go into the bookstore. Who's my lady today in the bookstore? Carol, are you in the bookstore? Oops, who's supposed to be in the bookstore? Well, look at her. All right. Carol, could you go in the bookstore after? Is that okay? Please, with sugar on it. Okay, go as a team. Carolyn and Carol, go in the bookstore afterwards. If you don't have this book, they will give you one and I will pay for it later. This book is foundational to find out how great God is and who He's made you. And I've worn these out. I don't know how, I've been through a dozen of them, but it's just real basic. So please take advantage of it. Okay, so we're going to find out who we really are, who God's made us to be. Praise God. And actually, everybody say, I am incredible. If you couldn't say that, if you were choking on it, you are at the right place today. So say it again. I am incredible. And I got, so that's the title of our series, I Am Incredible. How many of you have seen the movie, the kids' movie, The Incredibles? It's a good one. They actually have Incredibles 2s out. I think that came out last summer. So I got to watching that, and there's this guy, Mr. Incredible. He's like the superhero dad. What's his name? Bob Parker, right? And Incredible 1, he's sitting down at a desk with this lady who comes in, and he's she's trying to take get an insurance claim. And then, wait a minute, but this is Bob, Mr. Incredible, Mr. Superhero, and he's just sitting there going, oh, my gosh. You know, at that moment, he is not feeling so incredible. But wait a minute, he is Mr. Incredible. But he's sitting there in everyday life, and he's not feeling too incredible. How many of you don't always feel so incredible? Amen. Title of the message is, Not So Incredible Me. Not So Incredible Me. Okay? The Incredibles. All right. And listen, there are times I am not so incredible. There are times you are not so incredible. There are times we, Pastor Sherry and I, just preach ourselves happy. We tell you who you are in Christ, and you walk out and you go, yeah, I don't know, Pastor D. It's not me. You know, I think you got the wrong person because I am really not so incredible. So we're going to talk about why we struggle being not so incredible, yet God says we are incredible. So I'm going to lay a foundation on the not so incredible today so we can get to the next couple of weeks more of the incredible. All right. Question. Has anybody ever had a day, maybe even today, you were not acting so incredible? Don't raise your hands. Anybody have a week where you weren't acting or even thinking so incredible? A month, maybe even a year. Okay, we're going to talk about that because really, the moment you ask Jesus Christ into your life, raise your hand if you've asked him into your life. Asked him, okay, the moment you do that, woo, he says you're now incredible. He says you're now incredible, right? So, but, and when that happens, something on the inside, because I've asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of my life, something on the inside is supposed to be working on the outside. But that something on the inside, usually you just don't look too different, right? That you can't see the difference because there's some things we have to do to get the something on the inside, the incredible you on the inside, outside. So I'm going to tell you some stories about me. I'm going to tell some stories about people, and I'm going to change the names to protect the innocent, okay? But my journey started in 1975. It's the summer of 75. I have just finished my junior year in college. I am incredible college junior. I have had a wonderful year. Really found out I was not so incredible because, As you know, I've told this all the time. So that end of that summer, my brother was killed and a drunk driver hit the kid and run. So, you know, I have some great, I don't drink, guys, which is really just not my favorite thing in life. So my brother's killed and I go back to college. So I'm going into my senior year. And several people start telling me about this incredible God. And I watch in their lives, and they were really nutcases until they met Jesus. So now they're to me, a nutcase, but really they're not. I'm the one. But okay. So I meet Jesus and my life changed. It just changed from this way to that way. And many of you, how many of you have had a change in your life because of what Jesus did? Yeah. Praise God. They changed. Now, but I've changed and you've changed, but we still have some moments, just a few, where I'm not so incredible. I know you all think I'm incredible. This is where you're supposed to say, yeah, Pastor D. Jeez, the team is here, okay? But here's the good news. I am not so incredible sometimes, and I have not gone back to my BC days. I've been walking with Jesus for 40 years, but I have moments when I am still not so incredible, and some of you have seen me and I'm not so incredible. Shh. But I've seen you and not so incredible. Shh. Right? All right. So here's what happens. I've received Jesus. I have this new life, this new nature, the Spirit of God living on the inside of me. But there's sometimes I'm still not so incredible. Everybody say, not so incredible. Okay? Sometimes I do some things that are not so incredible. Sometimes I say some things. So you know the Bible says you're to love one another and be kind to one another and forgive one another. Sometimes I don't do that. And at that moment, I am not so incredible. But y'all are just perfect out here, man. Just looking at these perfect bunch. Yeah. Okay. So there's times that I am and I still do not so incredible. And I used to beat myself up. Anybody used to beat yourself up that you did this? You swore you weren't going to do this and you went and did it again. You did it again. And I just was becoming, I just sometimes do some not so incredible things. Praise God. So you know what? Better say grace. Just write that word down. Ask God to open your eyes. But the grace of God, if it weren't for the grace of God, okay, who has saved me, made me his child. He has given me so many wonderful things. And so what? Sometimes I am not so incredible, but it's the grace of God that I still am loved by God. Everybody say, I'm still loved. I don't care what you said this morning. You are incredible. Okay. So open up your Bibles. We're going to do 15 scriptures. We're going to hang out a lot in Romans. So just write that down, okay? Romans, we're going to start in Romans chapter 7. I just want to warn you, we are going to go past 12 o'clock. Yay! Hooray! We're radical Christians. So don't get rich, and I know I'm not, I just have to lay this foundation. It will change your life and how you live life victoriously. So, but if you have to quietly sneak out, I get it. Next time, make your dinner appointments later. I always love it. All right. Praise God. You all at Romans 7, verse 15. So we're talking about the not so incredible me, and this scripture set me free. Romans 7, 15. This is written by the Apostle Paul. Like, he is the apostle. Aside from Jesus, this is the guy. And he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And he says this, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right. Raise your hand if you always want to do what's right. Yeah, I want to do what's right, okay? But I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Anybody identify with that scripture? Like, I can't believe I did that, okay? So let's read that one more time. I don't really understand myself, for I do what I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Hate, that's a pretty strong word, yeah? Hate's a strong word. So listen, but I'm relating to this. I'm getting it, okay? So we're talking about the not so incredible me, because sometimes I do and say, it's mostly my say, and then I do, say things that I really like, I can't believe I didn't want to say that, I did say that, and I act like this not so incredible me. Now, I have been in the book of Romans for a month, all right, and we are going to, and this is why this is coming out like this, but go read Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, really read the whole thing, it's really not that long, but 6, 7, 8. Paul, in chapter 6, 7, and 8, talks about the flesh nature. Just write that down. Flesh nature, okay? And this is not this thing that I pinch, okay? It's talking about the nature, the not-so-great nature that we have, okay? No, I am a child of God because I've received Jesus. My spirit is made alive. I'm a new creature, but I got this nature thing going on. Back in the day, I'd call it the Jersey girl, okay? It is the nature, though. It is not Jersey. It's this nature. And it's actually the fallen nature, and it's still there. And the Bible says you need to crucify it. And that means just tell it to shut up, or else it'll rule you. Anybody know somebody, not us, that's been ruled by that nature? Okay. So some mornings I get up, yay, great morning. And some days, some mornings, I am not too incredible. And I, you know, do not get in front of me when I'm driving, when I'm one of those moods. Man, am I able to, okay. So you all know what I'm born again. I am. She's just thinking, well, she's not born again. That's the pastor. I'm born again, okay? So there's a not so incredible me and there's a not so credible you sometimes, right? And so what do we do about it, all right? Well, it's this flesh nature. It's this flesh nature that we have to take control of, and the Apostle Paul talks about it. So jump over to Romans 8:7. Romans 8:7. Romans 8:7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Okay. Carnal mind. That's talking about this flesh mind, this mind, all right? And the carnal mind is the mind that's not been renewed to what God says. Okay? So the carnal mind, he says, is in enmity from God. By the way, I don't think I've ever used that in a sentence. Like, it's not in my everyday lingo. I'm in enmity to you. So what the heck does that mean? Enmity means, get ready? I hate God. Hate. It's really strong. Enmity, all right? And it happens because we've not renewed our mind. So read this again. When you don't renew your mind, not to Netflix. Okay, I binged both Incredibles 1 and 2. That was a little binge. It was renewing my mind in that. But no, when you renew your mind to this, to the Word of God, okay? So he's saying your carnal mind has to be renewed. If not, it's going to hate God. Wait a minute. I thought you said you love Jesus. I love Jesus. You love Jesus. Oh, come on. Yes, you do. But you have this carnal flesh nature and a mind that's not renewed. And it's just going to be not so incredible. Okay, not so incredible. All right, and you have to renew your mind and tell it to shut up. And the nice word is crucify it. You have to crucify it. Okay. So, how many of you could put 1 + 1 and it comes to 2? It says so. The not so nice me wants to sin. I thought you were born again, Pastor D. I am. I remember the day I received Jesus, but I have this flesh nature. Then unless I keep it lined up, it wants to sin, okay? So, now let me tell you a few things I found out about the not-so-incredible me and you. Good point, you guys too. That it doesn't matter how old you are. You could be 70, 80, or 90, and you still have a flesh nature that can be not-so-incredible. That's why they call them grouchy old men and mean old ladies. Doesn't care. They just move it slower when they're older, right? That's all it is. But they have a flesh nature, and they can be not so incredible, okay? So not so incredible me, my flesh nature will gravitate over to sin, all right? Sin, Pastor D, we don't talk about sin in church. You better start talking about sin in church. You better teach your kids about sin. Okay, side story. Long, long time ago, downstairs, I'm teaching Sunday night, potluck, all sorts of kids. And this little boy, I can't say names. Okay. Change the name. This little boy, Jason, little thing. He's like five. And he was just being naughty. And we never say they're bad. They're just acting bad. They're naughty. And I said, you need to obey. Obey. He says, I don't even know what that word means. I thought, woo, Pastor D, you're in for it. And I'm going to talk to that mama. You need to teach your kids what sin is and obeying. By the way, that's just a little nugget about raising kids. High five, Sherry. You've got someone sitting there. Okay. So we need to talk about it. And the truth is a matter, our flesh wants to do wrong, a.k.a. sin. So what do we do about it? What do we do about it? All right. What do we do about it? Well, we're going to talk about a couple of things we can do about our not so incredible me. But this is what I've seen with church people, not this church, because, you know, we know everything. But I see church people. This is what they start acting like If they don't know about their flesh nature and they don't know who they really are, they've not read this mini book that you can get for free. Okay, this is what happens. They start acting like, oh, I'm just no good. What's that thing? I'm like a poor little worm. I'm no good. All right, and what they're saying, there is no amount of nothing good inside of me. I see church people that ought to know better, and the reason why they start talking about that is because they don't know. They don't know who God is, who he's deposited inside of you, all right? And actually, that is Old Testament. Isaiah, I'll read it. Isaiah 64, 6. We are all unclean. Hey, we should sing a song about that. Oh, yeah, they do. You go check out some of your hymnals. They sing about that. Somebody back there. Next one. Ready? The next part it says, okay, so we are all like unclean things and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. I am so pitiful, right? Okay. The problem with that kind of thinking in our church inside of you is you are just going to bomb at life. And that is not the good bomb. You're the bomb. No, this is the bomb, right? Okay. That's not who you are. Now, can I tell you what Jesus did? I mean, just think about this. Jesus came from heaven, left heaven, came to earth, died for us. And you know what he wanted to do for you? He wanted to bring all of heaven down to you. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay, you know, heaven. He wanted to bring heaven down, not just earth. Come on, guys, heaven inside of you. That's what he wanted to do, okay? But we have a problem. We have a mind and we have a flesh. We have a mind and a flesh. And until you start renewing your mind, not to Netflix, until you start renewing your mind to the Word of God and crucifying your flesh, telling it to shut up, I'm not going to do what that's going to do, you're going to kind of gravitate and do things that are wrong. All right? Yay! All right. So when someone says, yeah, but I can't help myself, I still have this bad temper, I still do this. No, if you're born again, you're still a wonderful person, you are incredible, but you're going to have to do some things. You have to do some things. And I love telling you what to do, and I love doing a lot of stuff for you, but really, it's you all, okay? You have to do some things. Just write this down. Colossians chapter 1 and 2. Okay, so Jesus died to bring heaven inside of you. Whoa, heaven, all of God. Okay, so Colossians chapter 1 says, the Godhead bodily dwelleth in you. What? The Godhead, God the Father, God the. It's when you get to call out. The whole Godhead bodily lives in you through Jesus Christ. Everybody stand up and say, incredible me. Shh. How? Say nice words, Pastor D. How on tarnation can you have a bad day? A depressed day? Okay, be nice, Pastor D. All right. So the Godhead. Now, yes, that is true. But yet, sometimes I don't act too nice. You should have seen me the other day. I was barking orders again. Sherry grabbed me and, ma, say you're sorry. I was like, whatever. Okay. So, yeah, there's times I don't act so good. There's times you don't act so good. There's times you don't say so good things, okay? There are times that it happens, okay? But we all, if you've received Jesus, have the Godhead dwelling on the inside of you. Everybody say, I am incredible. But sometimes I don't act so incredible. I am not so incredible, all right? Think about this. The God that spoke the world into existence lives inside of me. You're pretty incredible. All right? All right. God lives inside of you. Now, jump over to Romans 3. Romans 3. I told you we're going to hang out in Romans, and we've only done three scriptures. Woo-hoo. Okay. Romans 3. Romans 3. Most of you know this. Romans 3:23. For everyone has sinned. Everyone. I've sinned, you've sinned, your sweet little granny who you think is the apple pie and the sun shines, sinned. Okay, so we have all sinned. Guess who the Apostle Paul is writing to? Yeah. By the way, you're part of the church. So he's writing to the church and he's letting them know, hey, we all came from the same starting point. Okay? I was a sinner, right? We all have sinned. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Okay. But when you receive Jesus, woo! I am no longer a sinner. Yeah. Okay. My nature on the inside of me has changed. I'm now a child of God. I'm now the righteousness of God. I'm now holy and blameless and, man, a whole bunch of other great things. Okay. Now, the reason why the reason why Jesus came, so he can make a change on the inside of you. How many of you are glad he's changed you? He's changed you. Listen, I'm glad he's changed you. Keep changing, Lord. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, Paul says in that verse that we've all sinned. We've all sinned. But if you get stuck there and you don't read verse 22 and 24, you get goofy. Not this church, the one down the road, okay? You get to be confused. You can be confused, all right? So let's read verse 22. Verse 22. We, raise your hand if you're we. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true. Everyone who believes, woo, no matter who we are, praise God. So it doesn't matter what side of the tracks you came up, how rich, how poor, how fat, how skinny, what color your skin is. Everyone sinned, but if you believe, it's beautiful. You are incredible. Everyone. Okay, now. That's if we call in the name of the Lord. Now, jump down to verse 24. Verse 24. Yet God, in his grace, oh, thank you for grace, freely makes us right in his sight. Oh, that's good. That's good. I'm going home. That was good. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty of sin. So, the day you received Jesus Christ, he made you right in God's sight. He made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He made you right. Incredible. Okay. And he freed us from the penalties of sin. The penalties of sin. Listen, we had penalties on us before we received Jesus. After I received Jesus, wiped out. Wiped out. I'm out of the penalty box. Woo. Okay. He's released you from the penalty of sin. So I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm just a poor worm, filthy rags. Hogwash, okay? So when you get to heaven, the Lord's not going to say, hey, D, back in 1975, we need to talk about what you were doing that summer. Let's talk about it. Matter of fact, I'm going to put it up on the screen and we're going to play the rewind button. You don't know your Bible if you believe that. God, my sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. You get going east and keep going east, keep going east. It's forever. And he's put them in the sea of unforgetfulness. He has freed me. My God is not going to pull me in the corner. And when I reach heaven, say, let's talk about what you used to do. So you stop talking about that too. I'm incredible. Everybody say, punch somebody and tell them you're credible. Okay. So here's what I hear Christians, this is where we're really getting to, this is the meat. I've heard Christians say, Christians, that means they have asked Jesus, believe in your heart, confess in your mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. I have believers, followers, Christians, born again, whatever label you like. I've heard y'all say, yes, but Pastor D, I still sin. Okay, but you know, I still sin. Wait a minute. Jesus can forgive all your sins before. Do you think he can't forgive all the ones I'm still going to do today? He can. He does. He did. Okay. So I'm still incredible. Y'all, I just want to see somebody go, I'm incredible. Sitting there. Thank you. Okay. If your mentality is, shame, shame, the blood of Jesus isn't big enough to forgive my sins, only before, but now it is not big enough to cover my sins. You got some stinking thinking, right? All right. The blood of Jesus has forgiven all. All right. So I'm not a Baptist, I'm just a sinner. Okay. So if you're taking notes, this is number one. Ready? We have all fallen short. I just gave you all the scriptures, right? We have all fallen short. We've all fallen short. But before, that was before I received Jesus. Before I received Jesus, I was a sinner. I was pathetic. I was filthy rags and all that schmo stuff, okay? I was a sinner, okay? Before. But after, woo, I'm incredible. Yet, I still am not so incredible me because I sin, all right? Awful serious in these parts. We should pass out lollipops. That's what we do in children's ministry. If they get out of hand or if they're not looking so good, give them a lollipop. Okay. Okay. All of us still fall short sometimes. But is a different falling short from the moment I believed. It's not that again. Okay. But I still mess up. Anybody mess up? Anybody ever make it to church without messing up? You know, shoo, throw four kids in a car back in the day. We have had some not so incredible me's just to get here. Okay. But listen, so there's times that you and I still fall short, but I am not going to condemn myself. There is a condemner. He's a liar. Tell him to shut up. You're a liar, right? You're a liar. And I say, God, I missed it. I shouldn't have said this. I shouldn't have done that. And I thank you. I'm endeavoring to go do really well. Okay. But God's not going to condemn you. I'm not going to condemn you. Stop condemning yourself, right? All right, jump over to Romans 5. Romans 5. Romans 5:12. I'm going to read this one, and then I'm going to give you a story that just makes it really clear. It says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to... Yeah, everyone, for everyone's sin. Okay. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died from the time from Adam until the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit command of God as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol and a representative of Jesus Christ. Okay. So, I have a dear friend, comes from this huge Italian family, 7 boys. God bless that mother. 7 Italian boys. Grew up when I grew up, okay? And the oldest one is Jim. And Jim was really just a nice guy. But number 2, 3, and 4, Joe, Tony, and Mike, so remember the order. Man, they were wild boys. Wild Italian boys, growing up in the 70s. Fill in the blank, okay? Wild, wild. And they received, so number 2, 3, and 4, Joe, Tony, and Mike received Jesus, had an encounter with Jesus. I mean, drastically, radically changed. As a matter of fact, they're all pastoring now, but hallelujah. So, so they get radically changed in a short time, like in 6 months, the son number 2, 3, and 4 get radically changed. And there's Jim and they go, Jim, you need Jesus. He goes, no, I don't. You guys need Jesus. You guys were crazy, crazy. He says, but I don't do bad things. Okay, now listen. That scripture says it doesn't matter if you think you haven't done an explicit sin. All have sinned, right? Yeah, including Jim. By the way, Jim now gloriously saved, and he works for one of the pastors and stuff like that. But this isn't talking about y'all being a goody-goody two-shoes, I'm so perfect, okay? The Bible says we've all sinned. Everybody say, we've all sinned. So if we've all sinned, we all need a Savior. So if we all sinned, we all need a Savior. We all need Jesus. Everyone. Okay. Now, once you receive Jesus, I can't have that mentality that I'm still a sinner, and then I'm going to beat myself up, okay? Do I have the potential to sin? Hang around with me till the end of the day. I will have many opportunities. If you are married, you can have more opportunities than I do. Throw in a couple of kids, throw in a boss, you will have potentials to sin, right? Yepers. Okay, why? Because the flesh nature and my mind that is not renewed to the word of God, okay, is just going to go not so incredible me. Alrighty? So, but in God's eyes, if you've asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, he sees you not as a sinner. He sees you through Jesus. He sees you incredible. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All your sins are forgiven. Holy and blameless. So God's not looking at you. He's not looking down on you. Right? Isn't that wonderful? Pass the popcorn out, baby. This is great. All right. So, turn over. Listen to this. Romans 5:17. A lot of you know this. For the sin of one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is the wonderful is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. So now that you have received Jesus into your life, through the grace of God, through Jesus Christ, woohoo! You have the gift of righteousness. What does that mean? You can stand all right before God. It was a gift. How many of you got the gift of righteousness? Yeah, I got the gift of righteousness, okay? Now, think about God. Just think God dishes out, here's the gift of righteousness for you, here's the gift of righteousness for you, here's the gift of righteousness for you. And then I have one of those not so incredible days in me and I mess up. Do you think he's going to take back his gift? Some of you might. Man, my kid mouthed off to me one time. I took those keys to that car back. But that wasn't God. So, but listen, God was not taking those keys back. God has given you a free gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. But he's given you a gift. And he will not take it back. If you're his child, you've received it. Okay? Isn't that beautiful? That is God. He's not a gift taker backer. He's a gift giver. All right. And listen to the next part. He gives you that gift so that you can live triumphantly. Incredibly. He gives you that gift, all right, so you can live triumphant life. So, you cannot walk around with your head down. Gosh, I'm just no good. I know I hear pastor preaching this stuff. I just can't do it. I'm no good. I'm just a bad person. You cannot be doing that, all right? You are the incredible you on the inside of because of what God has done and given you. Amen. All right, so number one, we've all fallen short. Number two, now. We're going to talk about a mentality that you have to have or else you're just going to bomb it, all right? So a mentality like how you go through life and how you attack life, how you do life, okay? Now, if you don't have this mentality, well, let's do positive. If you do have this mentality, you're going to go down the right track. If you keep this thinking correctly, you will go down the right track in life. All the great places God called you to be, all right? So how many of you ever heard the Bible talk about humility? Yeah, humility, okay? The Bible talks about us having humility, all right? And I've heard some people say, hey, if you don't humble yourself, God's going to humble you. Wrong. God's not going to do that. We are called to humble ourselves. We. I like helping you. You can help me. But no, we. We're supposed to humble ourselves. And it simply means to put ourselves under God. Under his truth. That's a humble person. I just submit humbly unto him. All right. So this is the mentality we have to have if we're going to go this way. All right. But you have to understand, if you don't have this, you get weird. Have you met weird Christians? I was at this. Oh, man. I thought, woo. But this isn't what they were weird that night. I'm no good. I'm not going to amount to much. All right. You got to get your mentality, your thinking out of that. That's you're just going to be weird. So Galatians 6. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So number two, we are nothing. Wait a minute, Pastor D. I thought you said we are incredible. You are, okay? But what he's saying is, without Jesus, shoo, I'm a nothing. With Jesus, that's a whole different story. But I start doing life without leaning on him, going into his word. I'm a nothing. Okay, I'm nothing. So I myself am nothing. With Jesus, I am something. All right, we are to be with him. With him, in him, amen. All right. So what does this mentality look like when I am a humble person? I'm walking in humility. It means, Lord, I'm coming under you, and I can't do anything unless it's through you, through your grace. Amen. That's humility. That's humility, all right? So I am nothing without him. And let me tell you, all through the day, I have to do that. I can get really dumb, not so incredible, all right? So number one, we've all fallen short. Number two, I'm a nothing. I'm a nothing. Here's number three. We, if you take notes, number three, we know nothing. We know nothing. Let me give you a scripture for it. We know nothing. 1 Corinthians 8:2. 1 Corinthians 8:2. 1 Corinthians 8:2. We know nothing. If anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing. All right? Yet as he ought to know. All right. This is my mentality. The more I find out who God is, the more I'm reading my Bible and I find out this incredible, amazing, just, I can't write enough words. God is, I found out I don't know nothing. I really don't know nothing. I've used that excuse to the Lord. God, I can't do that. I don't know nothing. He's like, yep, I'm going to use you because you finally got it. Okay? So the more I realize I don't know nothing, when I get here, God's like, yes, I finally got her. Okay? So some of you might say, well, I have a master's. I have a PhD. I'm so educated. It's not talking about that. It's talking about your walk with Jesus. It's talking about every day your walk with Jesus, and you get up and you go, you know, without him, I'm a nothing. Lord, without you, I'm a nothing. All right? Now, with you, I can know some stuff. I can know some stuff with you. Praise God. Okay, so that humility is a mentality, a mindset that you have to have. Now, the not so incredible me who's not walking in humility, putting myself underneath God, guess what just comes in like a flood? Pride. Pride, okay? Pride. So the not so incredible me can just be a real prideful jerk. Okay? Yep. Have you ever run into a know-it-all person? Oh my gosh. There's this one, I know that. They stink of pride. Okay? How about you just shut up? And I'm sorry. How about you just close your mouth? Just listen to people. You might find out. You know nothing. Right? Pride. All right. So the more I realize I don't know nothing is the more that I'll say, God, I need you. I need you, right? And you know, the Bible talks about pray about everything. Pray about everything. That's because I don't know nothing and I am leaning on you. God, I need to hear from you because I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. That takes me in humility. I'm submitting. I'm coming underneath God, his word. Woo! All right. Okay, so we've all sinned. We are nothing. And we know nothing. I'm going to read you this scripture and you can figure out the next one. Ready? John 15:5. Jesus said this. This is Jesus. All right? He says, I'm the vine. Right? Y'all know this? You're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That's good. So we've all fallen short, but now I'm a believer. And then we know nothing, we are nothing, and we can do nothing. That's the mentality. And that's, God's going, that's just right where I want them. It's just where I want them. Because I am God. I am almighty. I'm the creator of the heaven and earth. I've deposited amazing things. I've done great things. And when you finally get to that point, it goes, it can move through you. How many of you know who Todd White is? Oh, sweetie. I still want to cut his hair off. Don't tell him I said that. Just, you know, it's right up in things that irk me. I can't stand trash in the trash can. Just, I have little, I'm pet peeves, okay? But I love Todd and he loves me. Yeah, but listen, and Todd will tell you, I cannot do nothing unless it's through Jesus. And he is very humble, and that's why God will work through him. So just, I don't know why God doesn't do this with me. Just saying, right? You might want to reel it in. Praise the Lord. Okay. So every Sunday after church, I get on this stretch, and I have to remember to follow the speed limit. I pass UPS, and I start this prayer. God, I can do absolutely nothing without you. And God, I thank you for using me. And Father, to you be all the glory for what you have done. You know why I have to do that? Keep myself humble and out of pride. Listen, you get in pride, you're in trouble. You stink, but you're also in trouble, all right? Yeah, you're in trouble, all right? So it's really good to say, God, I can't do anything unless you're with me, unless I move inside with you, all right? So how many of you found this out? You cannot raise your kids unless Jesus helps you. I think I figured it out like 3 days after I had Sherry. Oh, God, would I do this baby? And then I had teenagers. God, okay? I got a little smarter. How many of you found out you cannot be the wife you're supposed to be, the husband you're supposed to be, unless you say, God, I can't do this. I'm going to kill them. Kids, I used to say, I'm going to chuck them off the roof. All right. So I found out I can't do things unless God and lean on him. All right. How many of you watched the Super Bowl? Okay, Super Bowl. And they had a whole bunch of those guys come up and said, humility, I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for bringing us here. I listened to guy after guy give a glory and say, I can't do this, it's only through God. And then how many of you have ever heard one of those other player, sports person says, man, I was just so good. Okay, there's no one that can play like me. What do you hear when you hear that? Pride. I want to tell you, buddy, you're in for a fall. You're in for a fall. So, that'll take you down a wrong track because it's all about you. So, I am incredible because of who lives inside of me. And I can do nothing. And I love hearing when people say that. I just like, it just puts me on the floor like, wow, that's where we're supposed to be. All righty. So I'm going to close up by saying this here. All of us at some point in time, if not often, sometimes, okay, in our walk with Jesus, I've received Jesus. Now I'm endeavoring to walk with Jesus. Okay. All of us at some point in time are just going to get off course. Okay. Okay. So I'm going to read you a scripture. Open up to Ephesians 2. And then I'm going to tell you what point this is. This is point number 5, but let me read this to you. And he, Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2. And you he made alive. Woo, it's when you ask Jesus into your life. Greatest day of my life. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses of sin. That was before I received Jesus. I was dead in my trespasses of sin, okay, in which you once walked. According to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Okay, so what he's saying is, I used to walk this path. I used to walk this course. All right, I used to walk that way. But then I met Jesus. And I had a turnaround, all righty? Now, how many of you, before you met Jesus, walked on some places you should not have walked? Did the rest of you, a bunch of liars? Man, gee whiz, all right? Okay, now how many of you, since you've received Jesus, still have some not so incredible moments where you walk in a course you shouldn't? Usually it's my mouth that shouldn't. Yeah, the rest of you, we're going to pray for you later. Every hand should have been up, okay? All right. So all of us have done it, okay? We thought, listen, most of the time I'm thinking I'm on the right course. And then I found out my mouth did it and I was on the wrong course, the wrong path, the wrong, okay? Basically, I sinned. Now, sometimes it's my mistake. Sometimes you made me do it. Yeah, right. But we all go down the wrong path sometimes because we have a flesh nature and we have a mind that's not renewed and I'm not taking control over it, okay? Okay. But then you walk into a church like this and you hear the truth and you get back on course. Yay! Or you're reading your Bible and you hear this truth and you're like, whoa, I shouldn't have said that, but now I see that and now I'm going to go on the right course. I call this a course adjustment. Okay, adjustment, all right? So here's my last point. We were all on the wrong course, the wrong path, all right? Before we received Jesus, okay, we were definitely on the wrong course. Before I received Jesus, I didn't even know. Well, yes, I did. I was just lying. Okay, so, but I was on a, but after I received Jesus, and I've got the life of God inside of me, but I still got this nature, this Jersey girl that likes to come out sometimes, and my mind is not renewed, and I can get myself on the wrong course. All right. Just me, right? No. All right. I'm going to give you a beautiful scripture. It's going to be our last one. Ephesians chapter 2. Well, I got a couple, but they're all Ephesians chapter 2. Okay, because I'm not lying. This is so beautiful. I believe this is going to help you. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4. Oh. Whoop. Should I write that down? Yeah, this is a good one. I think I skipped one. Whatever. Here we go. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy. Thank you. We're going to talk about mercy. Because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Okay. You are seated in heavenly places. You are not sitting on a blue chair. We're talking spiritually. You are seated in heavenly places because you've received Jesus. All right. Seated in heavenly places. It's a spiritual thing since you received Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus, after he died on the cross, shed his blood, was taken into heaven, and he presented his blood on the mercy seat, and God said, come and sit at my right hand. Woo! And you get to sit with him. Think on that and live your life, right? Okay, you get to sit with him. Okay, it's a spiritual position. Okay, jump down to verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Woo! Okay, the gift of God. If I were to say, oh, back in 1975, I just worked my way into salvation. I did all these good works. You would have said, lady, did you read your Bible? Okay, It is a gift. My salvation is a gift. I didn't deserve it, man. I did not deserve it. You did not deserve it, okay? It's a gift. It's free, okay? Now jump back up to verse 4. I got you jumping and thinking. But God, who's rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us. All right. See that word rich? In the Greek, it means filthy, filthy, filthy rich. That's Cashman translation. Abundantly rich. But guys, he's not talking about money. He's talking about mercy. God's talking about mercy, all right? Since some of you think you have done the big, the bad, the dirty, or otherwise I just keep doing the dumb. I keep doing this, this, and this. And you just think, man, I've blown it. I'm just bad. But listen, God, how far is mercy? His mercy is abundant. His mercy is filthy, filthy, filthy rich, okay? It never gives up. Okay. So I'm going to read that. But God, who is filthy rich, abounding, abundantly supplied in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us. I can be incredibly, not incredibly good a couple times a day. All right. And I call on the mercy. And he says, you got it. I just keep giving you mercy, 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 mercy. And it doesn't say, well, five times we're out of mercy. You're done. He says, I got mercy, an abundant amount of mercy for you. All right. And then he says, and he loved you. Close your eyes. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for your love for me. No matter how many times I call on that mercy, I just know you love me. You're not condemning me. Okay. So Mercy was given for all my mess ups. My once mess up, my second mess up, my third mess up, my fourth mess up. Mercy was given for me. Has mercy been given for you? Shoo! All right. Okay, open your eyes. Have you read in the Bible? Sure you have, Pastor D. I read my Bible all the time. Have you ever read in the Bible where people would come and fall on their face before Jesus? And they'd say, Jesus, have mercy upon me. Can you just imagine Jesus saying, oh gosh, it's Sunday. Sunday and I ran out. No. Or how about, oh gosh, you've been here 5 times. No. Oh, you're a sinner. No. Okay, listen. Those are religion at its disgusting. Okay? And those statements like you've been so bad, you can't be forgiven, and they hurt so much people. I remember praying with my brother. Actually, I got kicked out of the, it's actually my husband and Phil were praying with my brother, and but I was listening. You know, when you're peeking through the window, they're out on my deck, and he says, but God can't forgive me. You don't know all that I did. And that's religion. That's the devil. That's a lie. That's condemnation. He got gloriously saved, but so praise God. God is a God of mercy. Write that on your refrigerator for the day. My God is merciful. My God never runs out of mercy. He is full of mercy. Okay, so I want to talk about who you are, but I had to lay this foundation today because sometimes we have some junk in our head that is not true. All right? So, but I want to give you, there are times that I am just not so incredible. You are not so incredible. Don't point at your spouse and tell them they're not so incredible. Just look at yourself. Okay, there are times we're not so incredible, right? I have moments, all righty? But this is the encouragement. Ready? You really are incredible. You really are Mr. or Mrs. Superhero. And it's because Jesus died for you. And he deposited inside of you. He comes and lives inside of you. And he says, you are a superhero. You are incredible. And we're going to talk about all of that the next couple of weeks. So bow your heads, close your eyes. I did it. Thank you, Jesus. No, I didn't do nothing. I can do nothing. 1 minute to 12. Woo, put the coffee back on. Hallelujah. Now let's pray really seriously. Father God, I just thank you for everyone in this place, everyone that will listen to a CD or go online. I thank you for them. I pray, Father, that today they would understand that without Jesus, we have fallen short. We can do nothing. We're just nothing. It's not good. I thank you that for all of those that have received Jesus, I know that we know that she knows that I know that we mess up sometimes. In some areas of our life. But I thank you, Jesus, that you filled the gap. Praise God. And that you will never leave us, abandon us, or depart from us. Father, I pray that everybody would understand that it's all about Jesus and that we can do nothing of ourselves. And he has great mercy. And he has called each one of you into greatness because the greater one lives you inside of you. He has called you and made you incredible. And not just for yourself, he has made you incredible, that you would shine, that you would pull people out of the pit and say, there is a God that loves you, has been merciful, will be merciful, and you need a Savior. Father, I just pray for anybody that has just felt so condemned because they've just been a mess up. Not so incredible, not so incredible, not so incredible. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that these words bring light, bring freedom. Set free, put them back on the right course, that they might know how much you love them. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if you ever have a not so incredible moment, you know what to do. Amen. How about y'all stand up? Amen. Father, I really just one more thing. If you're here, and you feel like you're not so incredible because you've not asked Jesus into your life. Can I tell you, today is the day of salvation. Today, Jesus said, if you would call on my name, really simple, call on my name. Whoever would believe in their heart that the Lord Jesus Christ who died and rose again, and he's the Son of God. If you call on his name, he'd save you, and you will, and you shall be incredible. So if you're here and you'd say, Pastor D, I have been not so incredible because I've not had Jesus, would you just let me pray with you? Well, I'll pray with you. All right. Okay. Everybody just say this out loud. Father God, I come to you today because I realize I'm not too incredible. And I need Jesus. I need a Savior. And Jesus, today, I ask you to come into my heart, to come into my life. Thank you, Jesus, for making me incredible. Now, a child of God. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, you are incredible. And if you've already prayed this prayer, you're still incredible. Go tell somebody how incredible they are. We have a bunch of sugar back there and some very strong coffee. Please enjoy. Have a wonderful evening. Hey. What's that? Don't forget, you can get a free In Him book in the bookstore. Free, if you've never gotten it. Free. In Him.